Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby and this is the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We chatted to Sanjeev Bhaskar, the actor and Liverpool fan. The new series of Unforgotten starts tonight. We also had a chat in the world of showbiz with Jenny Eclair, who's talked about all manner of stuff, including Halloween, strangely. We also played you some old clips from back in May, June 2008. And, yeah, I think that's probably just about it. So here it all is.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. Not a vintage weekend, probably for either of our clubs, although you might look back on that as a decent point.
Oh, no, not at all. I was so angry on Saturday. I didn't enjoy it. I mean, it was bad for all three of us because the producer happened to catch the end of Halifax against Torquay.
Wow,
you know how to live. They were 2-1 up. I got a bit bored with the derby. I didn't think Liverpool... Once it was 2-0, I thought, well, they're not coming back here. Liverpool, rather.
It's great when Halifax Torquay is box office and Liverpool versus Everton isn't in Andy's eyes. That's very rare.
He must have been gutted.
He loves his non-league football.
It was actually quite exciting. And the winning goal by Halifax obviously was very painful for John. But it was a good goal, so fair enough. But I just thought Chelsea, I thought it was as bad as anything under Lampard, really. I just thought it was just such a poor performance against the Southampton team, really there for the taking, you could see in the first 10 minutes. And it was an instructional reading my timeline, because I sort of make notes, which are a bit ranty. So the first one says, Alonso should have done better. Well, he should have done, really, should have scored there.
Now we should point out, Andy, when he watches a game of football, you just watch a game of football, you soak it up, you'll have a little internal rant. You might WhatsApp your mates or you might text your mates. But Andy sits there with a book. And it's not the workings of a madman. Honestly, Frank Skinner used to say to us, if they ever found Andy's books, he would be locked up. Because it was the ravings of an absolute lunatic. So give us some of the stuff that you said.
Okay, and I'm not saying anything that this is right, but this was my feelings through the game. Kante, such a poor footballer, weight of pass. That's one thing. Then some of Werner's passing, I've written, that's just terrible.
And it just does it trails off there, does it?
Yeah.
After some of Werner's passing. Yeah, sorry, carry on.
Chelsea's final ball is dire. One of the worst 30 minutes I've ever seen.
Wow, blimey.
Not worth watching.
Okay.
Gave Southampton too much confidence. How can you make Southampton look so good? Ziyech came on. What for? He's useless. Atletico shaking in their boots. Whereas Leeds will murder a pathetic Southampton team. I'm not saying any of this is normal behaviour.
No, it's just the ravings.
This is ravings.
And it's all written down in blood. Yeah. With a pen.
But this one, listen to this. This is good. Taking Hudson-Odoi off is one thing, but bringing on Ziyech, you might as well have brought me on. He was pathetic.
Not Ben Mee, you mean you, I take it.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We should talk about that, because it's been a big talking point this weekend. Mm. To put a player on and then take him off half an hour later, a young player who, you know, we know has got a bit of an entourage, he's been a bit unsettled recently. There was some talk of him going to jail. I mean, what did you make of that as a move? Because some people have said Abramovich might have liked it. He might have liked the fact that a manager was strong enough to do that.
Well, I didn't like it. I don't think the players would have liked it. I can't imagine the dressing room particularly went for it. I just think, isn't there a normal protocol? You go, well, he was feeling a bit of a hamstring, and then you give him a rollicking in the dressing room if that's what you want to do. But the facts don't bear it out. And I get annoyed with managers who criticise the players, and you think, well, have a look at yourself, mate. You should have brought on Giroud. You do know Giroud's got a fantastic record against Southampton. You do know that, don't you? But you should have brought him on. That was one thing when he took Abrahams off. You know, he persevered with Werner. And it was pretty terrible. And Hudson-Odoi actually set up Chelsea's goal. Mm. If you look at his stats, they look quite decent.
Yeah, I didn't think he played badly.
He played all right, and I just thought, you know, why don't you have a look at yourself, mate? And I thought that sort of managing, you know, I'm not saying he won't be there next season, but, you know, you wouldn't be massively surprised if they got rid of him in the summer if it doesn't go too well for
him.
It's
quite odd behaviour.
And he's had all the decent, he's had a lot of easy games. Now he's got the tough games. He's got Atletico tomorrow night, Manchester United, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see how he goes after that.
I'm not going to have another rant, by the way. I'll just say that this is clearly Jose by numbers. We've all been here before. We know what stage, the different stages of Jose. So we're at that stage now where he starts the distancing in earnest. Sometimes results are a consequence of multi-situations. Well, what do you mean by that? We start to look for the Jose subtext. We get the Brody's notes.
Yeah.
We get a handy guide of the Jose. What Shakespeare actually meant here? What Jose actually means here? My coaching methods are second to nobody in the world. Oh, yeah, okay. I think for a long, long time we have problems in the team that I cannot resolve by myself as a coach. So you get all these loaded talking points. He lobs these grenades in and he walks out the press conference. We've seen it so many times before. I don't quite see the point of it, but I still stand by 14th and toxic by the time he leaves. We'll see. But well done to West Ham. They were the better team. They played well. Tottenham had a go in the second half, but if you defend like that, you will get beaten. And
They were a bit unlucky not to get in. Bale showing a few signs of looking a bit better. Yeah. I've been logging after your comments about sit people down. You know that we had a whole weekend of people sitting defenders down and sat the goalie down.
Sat the goalie down.
Yeah, there was one by last week when the Spurs were playing against that team from Austria, wasn't it? Yeah. Bale, he sat the defender down, and then on Saturday, Danny Murphy said Minamino sat the goalie down. Yeah. So that's sat the goalie down watch.
No one as yet has gone rogue and gone with Minamino, because we were told by a man in Japan when he signed, we said we'll call our man in Japan, and we said tell us more about Minamino, and he said, well, for a start, it's pronounced Minamino. But then, but that's what it lends itself to. But obviously, no commentator as yet has had a word with the player, and he said it's Minamino. But maybe they will, and we can do that little mix.
I was a little bit bored during the. During the City-Arsenal game, I got a bit bored in the second half because in the Arsenal were going to score and City didn't look they were going to score. It looked like it finished 1-0 and it did. So I was thinking about this and I think I've decided that George Cohen should call himself the GC. I've got a new career for him. He can do a reality show with Summer Montes. Fulham might actually stay up.
Yeah.
George can talk Summer through the glamorous days of 66 while she can teach him to ride a horse.
This is gold, Andy. Summer. This is gold. Anyway, I'm looking for TV formats for Brighton's Percy Tau. I can't believe we haven't done it before. Throw in the Tau, which is a kind of Challenge Annika type show. So go on then, do your worst.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're going to be discussing Gazza's appearance on Italian I'm a Celebrity. On breakfast this morning, Ali McQuist was quite surprised to hear his old mate and occasional housemate during their Rangers days was going to take part.
He'll either be the first plane home after 24 hours or he'll win it. It's as simple as that. There's going to be no, there'll be no grey area.
Does he have any fears, Ali?
He's scared of everything. He's terrified of everything.
Really?
No. I'll tell you right now, you know what you and I need to do? We need to move to Genoa or somewhere because we've got to see this.
We have
got to see this.
That is commitment to the job, isn't it? Moving to Genoa just so you can watch Italian
I might
celebrity.
Go Rome or...
Nice part of the world, Genoa.
Oh, yeah.
You've been there. I've been there. It's very nice.
I've been there. Yeah, no,
very smart,
nice.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, so we thought we'd head to Italy and look at Gazza's celebrity status in Italy. Joining us now, our old friend Tancredi Palmieri, Italian football expert. Hi, Tank.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
We can. Loud and clear. We can. So, I mean, what are people saying in Italy about this? They're excited by the prospect of Paul Gascoigne in Honduras, which is where they film this?
I have to tell you, this, at the moment, has made more news in England than in Italy. Not because you would think that Gaza fame is more over there than here. I can tell you that whenever you mention Gascon in Italy, he's enlightening the mood, he's opening eyes wide to everybody, he's still as famous as ever as it was. But because actually there has not been still any official announcement from the channel, that is one of the national channels, there was only a couple of weeks ago, one of these TV blog, actually one that is the most informed, usually having leaks about the next casting of these big shows, and that actually was throwing in the news. Then yesterday it appeared on The Sun. We know that The Sun is on top with this thing, so it hasn't been given much round there about that for this reason. Actually, a few hours ago, I saw that it made the news, Ally McCoy is not holding his laugh in Italy as well. It was reported so actually in that way. But if if really it is confirmed, I mean, even officially, everybody will be watching it. It's the fame of Gaza here is untouchable as in England.
Does he speak Italian? I mean, did he speak Italian when he played there? And does he? I have no
not
idea
at all.
If he does or not. Really?
Not at all. I remember only one post-match interview. So we are talking about post-match interview that was in a rough half Italian. A famous, there was a famous moment where he jumped in an interview. Just saying, how can I say that in English? Well, in acceptable
rude.
English.
Exactly.
Well, he said basically hello to, I would say, to a libertine woman. Hello to a libertine woman using a deep Italian slang, which was very unusual for someone like Gaza. Mm. And also, became very popular not only for being Gaza, but also because we had this show at the mid-90s that basically was a mocking show on football to whom everybody was taking part in Italy, every footballer. And it is the show that basically has inspired largely Football Italia with James Richardson, but also Soccer AM, as far as I know, it was largely inspired by this. And the Lazio players were often, probably you saw that some of these clips over there, were often sending over some own-produced clips where Gaza was singing in playback and the other players were like doing his chorus line. So even without speaking Italian, he was always so directly accessing all Italians with this attitude. So I don't think it's going to be an issue for him speaking or not Italian, to be honest.
And has he been over, Tank? Has he been over to Italy much in personal appearances or appeared on TV? So he's still kind of in the consciousness of Italian people and Italian football fans?
No, zero. I have to tell you, zero. Mm. There hasn't been any single interview or anything. But the thing is that is combined with the fact that the World Cup where he shined the most was the World Cup 90, the Notti Magica one, combined with a few years at Lazio. But if you remember, also at Lazio, it was much more what he could have done, but he was out for 1 year with leg injury. But anyway, he stayed so much in the imaginary, I would say, of Italian fans of the 90s, that even if he hasn't appeared, I mean, if you would announce tomorrow a primetime show having a 20 minutes interview with Gaza, I'm sure you would get fantastic ratings.
It's good to hear, isn't it? Even though, in some ways, finally, you really didn't see the best of him. I mean, post that cruciate ligament in that cup final, by the time he got to Lazio, he was still a good player, but I don't think he was quite the player he was before. So, and it was that delay in him coming over because of that injury. I think obviously he's well thought of in Italy.
No, totally. I think also it's done to the fact that, I have to say, when he appeared back, he gave some. There was a lapse of time in which he played fantastically. Let's say for one season. There was Lazio fans, don't forget, a late gasp goal in a Roman derby with an iconic, genuine celebration, jumping as a kid. So there are all those gleams. But I would say it was enough because possibly the only one that you could compare for the kind of feelings that has provoked to Gasconi, I would say it's Cassano, you know?
Okay.
But also in a different way, because anyway, Gasconi, being the fact that it was English, but I don't know who else you could take in the British scenario comparable to him. Possibly only George Best. I mean, if we talk about all the package, obviously not the way his life slipped away later, but I'm talking about his a way to be so direct, so accessible to people. So also the fact that all going together, it's pretty a unique character. So everybody, as I said, if a show would announce tomorrow a 15-minute interview with Gazza, I'm sure that the ratings on primetime would be superb.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Percy Tau, blimey, some of your TV formats, they're sensational. Tau me, Tau you, says Mark Carter. Percy joins Paul Chuckle for a remake of the Chuckle Brothers sake. TV show. Tau Zat, Percy owes the weekly roundup of South African village cricket. Oh, there he's all very good. Set of Taus, the family of the Taus challenge each other to a game of tennis, says Danny. So, yeah, this is good. We're looking for some TV work for the South African Brighton player, Percy Tau, this afternoon. A beautiful pea green boat, captained by Nicole Scherzinger, sails the world in the Tau and the Pussycat, says Dave in Manchester. Ridiculous.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Our next guest, like many comedians, had to reschedule a tour that she had planned for last year. She's also got a new TV show starting on Channel 4. She's our old gaffer. We worked with our Jenny Eclair on a TV show a few years back.
It was ahead of its time, I like to think.
Yeah, indeed. it's clearly she doesn't think so. And we're going to take her back to those heady days of Splash, which was probably the only thing we could think about, which was sports related.
The only sporting achievement in my entire CV.
That's it. Jenny Eclair joins us. Hiya, Jen.
Hello, darlings. It's so... I wish I could see you. I've gone on Zoom and I can see myself and I can't see your faces.
Oh, well, that's probably a good thing. We haven't aged well.
I can imagine you as you were. I'll imagine you as the younger man from back in the day.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea. I'll tell you what, though, before we talk about the tour and stuff, Andy Brassel, who's our European football expert, was just in and I said you were coming on next. He said, Jenny Clay said she lives near me, and I will say the kid's always very impressed because when they trick or treat, she's always very generous with the sweets.
Yeah.
Well, do you know why? There's a reason for that as well. Because, right, my 72-year-old partner, he buys the sweets for the children and he buys just huge amounts because he's very greedy. And the last thing I want is for him to have any leftovers. So when the kids come, I give them fistfuls and he's behind me going, they don't really need that many, do they?
Well, it's been noted. It's great to know the local kids know that...
With the kids.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I genuinely do believe that, you know, if you're nice to the children, they'll be nice to you, should you ever need them.
Yeah.
That is very true. Yeah. So this is a very long tour, I know. It starts on the 2nd of September. It's been rescheduled.
Well, fingers crossed, Andy, you know. I mean, we've been put back and we've been put back. It's such a difficult thing. But fortunately, because of my ageing demographic, my audience are usually mostly over 50s. You know, we're in pole position when it comes to jabs. I feel a bit sorry for the younger comedians who'd like to be setting off on tour, and some of their audiences, you know, won't be jabbed by September or won't have had their second jabs. But I'm kind of relying on my ancient audience to be completely jabbed.
Have you been jabbed yet, Jenny?
No, darling, how dare you? How old do you think I am?
Well, the tour...
No women are going to admit that. I've got a friend who won't
admit
it. I mean,
when the tour is called 60 and marks your 60th year, then...
It is a bit of a giveaway, isn't it? No, I'm in that funny position now where quite a few people I know have been jabbed. And it is... I do know people as well who have been very coy about their age in the past, who now the vaccine is around, have stopped being coy and they're there with their sleeves rolled up going, me next, me next. But what's happened with the 60 to 65s is there's a lot of people in front of us who are the clinically vulnerable and, carers and NHS staff and people who really are on the front line. And I think our teachers involved in that as well. They should be.
They should be, yeah, absolutely.
I'm being very patient and I'm being very good.
Beyond the tour, you've also got a new TV show on Channel 4 called Draws Off.
Draws Off is great. I mean, I want to turn everybody off football and onto Draws Off.
Well, good luck on Talk Sport.
You two are so sweet having me on your show because there'll be people listening going, why is she talking about not sport? This is not sport. This is drawing. This is a drawing show called Draws Off. And it's very good-natured, and I had an absolute ball doing it. It was one of those sort of sneaky shows we managed to film during lockdown, just before it all got deadly serious again. We did the whole block of filming in November in Manchester, and we did it all on sort of socially distancing. There was no testing or anything like that. We really got away with it. And but it was very easily structured so that we could maintain social distance. Basically, five people come on board every week and they each have an easel, and they take it in turn to be the life model. Do you get it so far?
Mm-hmm, yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're amateur artists, five of them competing for a grand. But the twist is at some point during the week, they will be the person on the podium with no clothes on.
Wow.
But before everyone gets totally excited and the old dirty old man brigade start, you know, booking a seat in front of the telly for Monday afternoon at 5:30 on Channel 4. I'm getting my plugs in here.
Yeah,
that's good.
It is a daytime television show and there are rules. So there are no rude bits on show.
Oh.
So there's a lot of very tasteful draping and nice lighting. And we didn't have to sort of, you know, put a gun to anybody's head. Nobody cried. I think as a host, it would be a really horrible thing if anyone was sort of dragged, kicking and screaming to the podium.
Are there strategic bowls of fruit? Is it that sort of tasteful?
It could have been.
Yeah.
It could have gone down the sort of the comedy route and just had, you know, iced buns and bowls of fruit, as you say. It's not, no, it's more sort of draping. It's classical draping.
Nice.
Of fabrics and things. Mm. But yeah, I mean, they are, quite a lot of them are quite classical poses. We had one bloke who really made me laugh because he came and he said, oh, no, I've got a pose in my head. And it was the Kate Winslet pose from Titanic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet pose, you know, the one where she lies back on the chaise longue and she says, paint me like one of your French ladies. Mm. But it was a bloke and he was in the Kate Winslet pose. And it was, that was very charming. So people came with sort of ideas of what how they wanted to pose. And then some of them thought better of their pose after 10 minutes because, of course, some things are very difficult to keep still for an hour on, you know.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But if, in case people wonder why you're involved with an art show, I follow you on Instagram, and I'd say the last year you've had a sort of, I don't know, a real, what's the way of putting it? And you just got into art, I suppose. I can't put it any other way than that. You've really produced a lot of work.
Too much work. Yeah. Anyway, I love it, and I believe in it as a sort of, you know, mental health and a therapy thing. I mean, you know what it's like. Some people have sport, and they really love it, and they really get those endorphins. And I tried, guys. I really did. I did the couch to 5K. Mm. Have you ever done that?
I've done similar.
You know, I've that
done,
running
yeah.
app?
Mm, yeah, yeah.
I tried that. I tried it until I really wanted to set fire. I wanted to set fire to my trainers. I wanted to burn everything. You know, it was just... I am far happier fatly sitting there with a paintbrush. I mean, I do go out and get some exercise and all that because we have to. But, you know, some of us are born to run and some of us are born to draw. And I think the world does divide. It really does. I mean, I don't know many who love both equally.
Jenny, we're sadly out of time. We never got around to talking about Splash, but happy memories of it.
Oh, I was, well, it's on YouTube. They can always catch it. Yeah. Should they want to see a middle-aged woman go face first off a 10-foot board, you know, if that's how you're going to get your kicks up, you know, feast yourself.
Yes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Percy Tau, he could be turning out tonight. The South African could be turning out tonight for Brighton when they take on Palace. And you've been coming up with some TV formats in case Percy goes off of football. What about this one? Chris says, Percy Tau discusses power ballads of the 80s with Carol Decker in To Pow Meets Patel. Does that work? Not really.
Not it doesn't. At all.
Robbie says, a towel of two cities. Percy goes around the country comparing Britain's coastal towns with Brighton. Question mark here. You're not altogether sure, are you really? That's a winner. The Leaning Tau of Pizza. Percy Tau finds the maximum angle for which he can safely arrange a different flavoured pizza, says Mick in Durham. Honestly, can you see these programmes on telly, boys?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Brian Davies' cold case detective drama Unforgotten is back for season 4 on ITV at 9 o'clock this evening. And joining us now to chat about that is actor, Liverpool fan, come on to that in a moment, Sanjeev Bhaskar. Good afternoon, Sanjeev.
Good afternoon, both of you. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. I only realised today, reading a preview of this new series of Unforgotten, that it's been 3 years since it was last on. It doesn't seem that long.
Well, I mean, we can all discount the last year, can't we?
That's, so it's I suppose, been yeah, we,
that's a good point.
It probably would have been 2 years then, wouldn't it, I would imagine.
It's like a group of Rip Van Winkles, kind of like, you know, just got together. Let's just kind of forget the last year.
Did you? Would it have been on last year? Would you have? Was it always kind of planned to be a show that came out in 2020, but for the virus?
Yeah, that was the plan, and we started filming it around. We were filming this time last year, and then had to take a 6-month break and finish it off in October. So yeah, I think originally the plan was that it would be out last year.
I was doing a bit of research and to just remind myself, I loved the series, but as you say, it has been a few years since it was on, and I'd forgotten about your backpack, which fans seem to really be quite obsessed about.
It's going to get its own spin-off series.
Well, it's got its own agent, got a better deal than I have, so, although I feel like, you know, I'm carrying that character.
Oh!
You could have let that go. You could have been generous and let that go.
You could have done that.
But, you know, it was a weird thing because, you know, I chose it as my bag when we did sort of first series. And there was so much commentary about, you know, why have I got a backpack? It looks ridiculous. I just thought, it's just a bag, you know, it's kind of... So by the second series, I thought, well, you know, we could have some fun with it. And I just got the costume department to fill it with stuff. And I said, don't tell me what's in it, because you know, you're carrying a bag in a scene. It's got to look like it's got something in it. And I won't look, I won't, you know, open it and look at it until the end of the day. And what they put in it just got more and more mad. And so I started to post the contents after each episode had gone out. So brilliant. I've done the same this time around as well.
What sort of things excellent. We talked about then, Sanjeev? What sort of things have popped up in the bag?
Oh, flipping heck. They've been, you know, they've been stiletto boots in there. There was a metal pelican they put in there. Ray Bentos pie was in there. A picture of the Queen. I mean, it's just... It's utterly, utterly random.
It's like a kind of psychedelic game of the generation game, isn't it, really, on the conveyor belt? You've got to try and guess what's in. That's bizarre.
Well, psychedelic what? And psychogelic.
Psychogelic. My old vent act I used to do. That's what it was.
It's interesting, though, because there have been other cold case shows, but what's interesting about this show is that the two main characters, Nicola Walker's character and your character, have these whole lives and these whole storylines that are woven around, aren't they, the cases that you have to solve.
Yeah, and I think what sets it apart is that, you know, they're quite, what's remarkable about them is that they're unremarkable. And so I think the focus of the viewers remains on, you know, the case and the suspects and their lives. And, you know, the little bits of our lives kind of weave in and out. You know, our lives aren't the story, if you like. And in that sense, I think it constantly goes back to the good writing, which is about... real people and, you know, real feelings and real attitudes. And so it's not, you know, guns and car chases type cop show, which are great, and I kind of enjoy those, but it's not one of them.
But this full series starts with Cassie Stewart, the DCI you work with, having had a year off from the job.
That's right. When season three ended, the Cassie character had kind of had enough, and so she wanted to leave. And the beginning of four... she's told that if she doesn't come back and complete 3.5 months, she's not going to get a pension that she's been working towards for the last 30 years. So that forces her back into the fray.
Wow. And you always get great casts. We've talked about this before about the show. You always get really, really good casts, don't you?
Mm. Yeah. You know, we had Tom Courtney in the first one, who won a BAFTA, and Mark Bonner in the second one, won a BAFTA. So you know, the pressure's not on me, is it? but the pressure's on Liz White, who people might remember from Life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes. Faldut Sharma, who was in EastEnders. Andy Nyman, that's a good name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sheila Hancock, Dame Sheila Hancock.
Wow.
As well. So it's a cracking cast.
Yeah, well, we look forward to it. 9 o'clock tonight, and it's not going to be... released as a kind of in advance of the box set, so you know there's always a great reveal in the series. So we'll have to catch it episode by episode, won't we?
Yeah, it's old school. It's kind of delayed gratification. It does mean that you know you've got a week to talk about it and discuss it and see where it's going, and then hopefully you know by the time we get to episode six, the last one, everyone will be watching it at the same time.
Now we had a sort of brief online chat before this, and I said that last week this was, and I said, you know, good result against Leipzig, and you said, yeah, well, they were maybe a touch more accommodating than Everton are likely to be, and you have been proved correct, Sanjeev.
Yes, well, I mean, it's obviously disappointing when your team loses, but I think also, I think it's understandable. I think that you know the whole you know get rid of. Plot thing and is an overreaction because I think you learn from your you know the difficult times, and I think that particularly over the last 4 years while Klopp's been there, I think there's been an improvement year on year, and I think it's an unusual year in terms of the injuries, and that's what you learn from. That's where you learn about your squad. You know, it's given the opportunities for someone like Curtis Jones to improve. He may not have had the minutes you know had there been a first team available. So, you know, although it's disappointing, I'm sort of like quite, you know, positive about the future, to be quite honest.
Oh, yeah, when they all come back, the players, and they'll buy it. I think they made the mistake, though. I was reading this morning that they could have got Koulibaly, and they bought two other centre-halves. I never understand recruiters when they do this. They buy two cheaper players and a bit more money. You could have bought one decent player. I'm not saying the other two won't develop.
Quite a lot more money.
Quite a bit more money. Yeah. Well, quite a bit more money. But I always think it's a bit of a waste to do that. I think you might as well buy the one you actually need and want and spend the money on him. But there you go.
Well, I think that's what Klopp did. You know, that's certainly what he did with Van Dijk. I mean, he kind of held out for Van Dijk. And I think that it was such an unusual year in terms of losing your centre-backs, having your, you know, two of your key, most key midfielders having to push back into that position. Then now them being injured as well. Is such an unusual place to be that I think that, you know, I'd imagine that they'd be looking at the summer and the recruitment, having learnt from this year.
Yes, yeah. Beyond Unforgotten, Sanjeev, what else have you got coming up? I suppose we're hoping over the next few months we start to get back to normality. Have you got plans afoot?
Well, you should say that you've been part of a campaign to persuade people to be vaccinated. I noticed that.
Yeah,
you were
I saw
in
that last
well.
Week. It's important. That's important work.
Yeah, I did. Well, the thing was that, you know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, cautious, doubtful or cynical about it. And it depends on where you get your information from. And, you know, if there's something wrong with your car, you go and see a mechanic, you know. But a lot of people seem to be getting their information from something they've overheard or whatever. And I'm lucky enough to know a few people who, you know, work in the medical industry, whether they're virologists or geneticists. And I spoke to them and, you know, all the concerns about, well, the vaccine, it's kind of, you know, how can they do it so quickly? Well, you know, they're platforming. They're kind of basing their research on other research they've already done because there have been other coronaviruses in the past. And also the amount of money that's thrown at it. You know, there's not been as much money around the world thrown at this as there have been with vaccines in the past. So a lot of it was just to persuade people to kind of, you know, be cautious, fine, question it. I think it's important to question everything, but it's also important to kind of go to the experts, really, to get your answers. Not some bloke called Ron.
Ron knows his stuff, but he's not medically trained, you know.
He's not trained in anything, but he's got an opinion.
He's got an opinion, Ron. That's the thing. That's what counts.
Yeah, that's right. The thing with Ron. Yeah, you don't want Ron's opinion on this.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
As you heard on Breakfast, because we spoke to James Coppinger on Friday, who designed the kit for the game at the weekend, and he scored a fantastic late equaliser, didn't he? Stepped up and took the free kick.
I've tried to find it this morning. I couldn't find it online, but it sounded absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, well, it was fantastic that...
Normally bock people, so it's unusual for somebody to do well after they've spoken to us.
That's very true. We brought them a bit of luck in that game, didn't we? Doncaster 3, Hull 3, and they were 3-1 down at one point. So this was interesting as well. Chris Hughton was saying he's really looking forward to fans coming back. They got a good result the weekend, Forest. And what they decided to do, I don't know if this was Chris's call or what, but they decided to play... crowd effects over the PA system. They've tried this at a few clubs.
I'm a big advocate of this.
So they did it in the IPL. The
players loved it.
Yeah. So it worked. They said he thinks it worked. The crowd effects over the PA. And he said it's kind of marginal gains, but it made a difference to them. So maybe more teams will start doing it.
I noticed that watching Amazon football last week, that I think their crowd effects are better than the main channels. They really were club specific, and I don't know whether they've got a little bit of a delay that gives them a chance to do something a bit more, but I thought they were well timed and sounded much more authentic. I mean, generally I don't bother with them, but with Amazon I did, and I thought they were rather good.
I think something that backs that up, Andy, is that you see there was a quote from Hamza Chowdhury after they played Slavia Prague last week, and he put in a bit of a hefty tackle on one of their players. And 600 fans are in the ground and started giving him the bird for the tackle. And he said he loved it. He said it was great. He said it made him feel like a footballer again, you know, proper stick from fans for putting in the challenge.
Absolutely.
And so they must miss it.
It is interesting, though, since I've really started to follow Brentford with a bit of a passion, it's annoying to me as Chelsea are, really. It's quite amazing. They really are incredible. Last year, they really threw it away when they should have qualified automatically. They went on a great run, 21, then they get to the top, they get in the top two, and then they've lost three in a row. You think, what's that? You know, you're sort of all right when you're chasing the thing, and when you actually get there, then you lose your bottle.
The
it's
manager said they
thing.
Haven't choked. He said they're just on a bad run of games.
Well, that's twice that they have, so we'll see. A long way to go, there. And I like this text about... This is, I love the way people think things work. This is Dino in Derbyshire, wrote to the Daily Star.
Oh,
Someone at Dave on Freeview should tell Jimmy Carr that the late, great Ken Dodd did the tax jokes better. And you think, do you think that somebody from Dave would actually ring Jimmy Carr up and say that, mate? I don't think they will, would they?
Seems unlikely, Andy.
It's never going to happen, is it? So why would you want them to do that? It's not going to happen.
People have been doing different things during lockdown, including 9-year-old Lexi Craven, who has taken up being a contortionist, an amateur contortionist. And she trains six times a week now. Right. And there was a picture of her suitably contorted. So well done to her. You know, it's a gymnastic thing. It's good for your fitness. Yeah. And all that. But I would have liked you to have done that, Andy. I'd like to think you'd come through this lockdown as a quite a seasoned amateur contortionist.
Oh, yes.
Never really. Quite happened.
So flexible.
Which is a great show. Anyway, a bit more from Percy Towel. This is from the Reverend Phil Richardson. Good afternoon, Rev. He says, Towel Now, Brown Cow, where Percy travels the length and breadth of Britain, investigating all the local regional accents. Oh, I can see that taking off.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Yes, the producer has dusted off a few more of those old mini discs from back in the day. He's been plundering them for old clips. And these takes you back to May, June 2008. They're not necessarily curated. As we say, they're warts and all, but there they are from 2008. And Andy, why not kick us off?
Yeah, we begin with Mike Parry, experimenting with the English language.
Unfortunately, like a lot of industries in this country, the word Ford is thought to be English, but it's not. It's American. They're a huge company in this country, but they're American. And even our football now is succumbing to what you might call the multinational aspect.
Succumbing? It's not a word you hear very often. Or
you
at all.
Banging the desk as he was speaking.
Yeah, of course. Alan Brazil and Ronnie Irani on Breakfast now, back in the day, talking lower league football.
You know, I like Cambridge. I used to go and watch them. Not as regular as Colchester, but I used to go and watch Cambridge. The problem is Exeter. I've got Russell Osmond and Steve Penniman down there at Exeter.
Have you ever been punting in Cambridge?
Punting? Cambridge dogs.
And he loves the traditions, Alan, doesn't he, of Cambridge. Punting on the dogs in Cambridge.
Brilliant.
Marvellous.
Back to Mr. Parry now, doing what he does best, interrupting.
Kickabout weekend with Mars.
Indeed.
I mean, the sun has helped an awful lot. We've got the lovely Mars girls with the free bags.
Yeah, we
to
certainly
go
have. We certainly
well.
Have.
It's like he's there to put you off. It's like it's a test. It's like the yes
Moose,
no game.
Moose sounds about 13.
He does. Young Moose. What a series that would be. Like young Sheldon.
I don't know who'd play him.
Yes. Yeah. Here's a caller to John Gaunt looking back on the good old days.
When I was at school 30 years ago in high school,
the
girls even did woodwork.
Well.
We learned how to do woodwork. I mean, it took me 6 months just to make a plastic spoon.
Okay. What, in woodwork? Fantastic. Resistant materials is what they called it, didn't they? I don't know. 6 months to make a plastic spoon in a woodwork class. Andy.
Returning to Mr. Brazil, welcoming a guest.
Delighted to welcome Hull City's assistant manager, Brian Horton, joins us now. Brian, good morning, pal.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Robot Brian Horton. Fancy some instant mash. I don't know about you. This is a caller, Max Rushton. Remember him? Who was sitting in for James Whale on the late night show at the time, talking about an extraterrestrial encounter.
We went to a Guy Fawkes fireworks display one night. We were coming home, decided to go. I live on like a high rise apartment in London.
Yeah.
Went on my roof just to have a look at the fireworks and stuff. And then we turned around facing. Basically Hampstead Heath, which is where I live now. And we saw like three lights in the sky.
Yeah, they were fireworks, mate.
Brilliant.
It was a firework display with exploding rockets. There we are.
Well done, Tim. Mike Parry again, alongside Andy Townsend, with a competition question.
In which film starring Bill Murray did this song appear?
Lost in Translation.
Right, in which film starring Bill Murray was this song featured?
No, that was the film it was answering.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For goodness sake, he had the answer in front of him.
don't dig too deep. Derek Thompson now, got old Tomo, King of Racing, getting revved up for a trip overseas.
And I must tell you guys, the last time I was in Moscow was for the Olympics. I won't tell you how long ago that was.
Well, don't tell us then.
Okay, it must be 1980, I presume. That's the only time they had it.
I think
okay.
so.
Yeah. Well done. Of course, in 2008, there was a huge FA Cup story as Harry Redknapp's Portsmouth won the Cup. But listening to Lawrence Mora, it didn't seem to make much impact.
200 fans have watched Portsmouth parade the FA Cup around the city.
Just 200. Not much of a turnout. How soon forgotten.
He must have meant 200,000, I suppose.
I thought they had a bigger fan base than that. This is Keith Arthur on Fisherman's Blues taking a call.
Joe's on the phone in Enfield. Hiya, Joe.
Bear with us for a couple of minutes. Just getting in the car.
It's not easy, that, on a phone in. Bear with us for a couple of minutes there, Keith. Just talk amongst yourselves on national radio.
Brilliant. Mickey Quinn now with a fine impersonation of one of Norwich's finest.
Or the chairman. Or Delia. Or even Delia. Come on! Come on! Put it in!
I don't think Delia said, come on, come on, put it in.
Put it in.
That's not,
wasn't
not really a catchphrase, was it? Really?
Not
I think
really,
find a array of T-shirts with that on.
Put it in the oven, I suppose, when it's ready.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah,
and finally, like this is Ronnie Irani with news of a fantastic competition prize.
We'll be giving away another £1,000 worth of power tools, professional power tools, tomorrow morning with Bosch, leaders in Lithuanian technology.
I think lithium, isn't it?
Lithium.
What is the cutting edge of Lithuanian technology at the moment? I've got absolutely no idea. So look, it's easy done. So there we are, just a little dip into the archives. That was May, June 2008. I took a minor detour for you this afternoon, and we'll do it again next week. And is there anything else you want to discuss today with the boys and girls? I've got something for you.
Oh yeah,
the way.
Go on, yeah.
I didn't realise it. Tuchel. You know what the word Tuchel means in German?
I know what I thought it meant on Saturday when he took Hudson and died.
Don't say it.
No,
it's what? Cloth. So he is Tommy Cloth. Which makes him sound like...
Jürgen Klopp.
He sounds like a character from Peaky Blinders, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Good old Tommy Cloth. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It doesn't really take us anywhere, but I thought
no,
I'd let you know.
Anywhere. It's fine, really. What else have we got? Oh, yeah, the... I've finally worked it out, actually, that Rita Ora, the only reason she's famous is because her name is great for headlines. That's it.
Okay.
She goes years without making an album. It doesn't seem to matter. She's in the paper every day. Today's Rita Flora Blooms in Oz. So I suppose that's something to do with flowers. But it just works, doesn't it? Aura, Flora. So
yeah, that's good. Well, that's all right. Well, it's good to have a catchy name.
Well, it is.
What else have we got for you this afternoon? I've got more Percy Towles. You're loving Percy Towles.
Oh, yeah, Percy
South
Towles,
African
yeah.
play. You're coming up some TV formats for him. A Towel Does Your Garden Grow, in which Percy visits various gardeners such as Titchmarsh, Don and Thrower. Well, you have a job, sadly, visiting Thrower. To get gardening tips from the professionals, says Dan the Fulham fan. When did Titchmarsh just become a surname? But there we are.
Les Holt has written to the Sun.
Of course he has, yeah.
Of course he has. Well, he writes about twice a week. Here he writes, normally he writes about Manchester United and just telling us that they beat Newcastle 3-1 last night. He just tells you what you already knew. But today it's, as Harry and Meghan divide the nation, Sun columnist Lorraine Kelly is full of respect and warmth for them. She deserves praise for sticking by them. Or does she really? I don't think so, but there you go.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I'm back alongside Max Rushton tomorrow from 1, and he's back with us on Friday. Actually, Thursday, if you include the birthday spread, late on Thursday afternoon. If you can listen tomorrow from 1, great. If not, the podcast will be available around 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.